time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and welcome to joining me this morning with Weekly Morning Coffee with Dr. T. For the last 23 years or so, I've been given thousands of talks and interviews, mostly talking about vaccines, but I wanted to get more information out to you on a wide variety of topics. So we set up this Tuesday morning to have an open forum question and answer. Now, I can't answer specific health medical questions. That's not what we need to do here. So when you post your question, please post it in a generic form that I can answer it for everyone. So before we get started, I got a black eye. I had an interchange with a kitchen cabinet door on Saturday, and it's a lot. It's better. It's still kind of weepy and a little bit sore, but it's like any other bruise. I was stood up quickly and turned around and ran right into the corner. And so, but you should see the door. I mean, you think this is bad. You should see the door. So it's better. I'm just grateful, just really grateful. Nothing happened with my eye. It's just my eyelid. And it's kind of weepy. And so if I have to wipe my eye a little bit this morning, please bear with me. It's kind of sore. Doesn't hurt real bad. But before the rumor mill gets going all over the world here, I just want to say, did you ever do one of those things where you just stood up too fast, like when you're unloading the back trunk of your car and you stood up too fast and hit the top of your head on the car, or you stood up underneath a cabinet door or something? That's kind of what happened. I was unloading the dishwasher and I turned around real fast and ran right into the corner of the cabinet door, and it really scratched. And really, it's kind of better than it was, believe it or not, except for this weepiness that's kind of annoying. But anyways, that's the state of that. So you don't have to sit around and wonder about it. I want to talk this morning about a couple, just before we get started here. Peter McCullough put out a new thing on his Substack today called the 28 Mechanisms of Kidney Injury with the COVID-19 Vaccine. You know, I did the 40 Mechanisms of Injury webinar back in July of 2021. And that was really early on in July of 2021. And I found all this medical literature that was already out there and already publicly available right as the jabs were coming out, the 40 different ways that the shots could make you sick or kill you. And it's been interesting over all the rest of 21, 22, and all of 23 to see all these publications that are coming out that talk about, oh, now we found this mechanism of injury, and oh, now we found this mechanism of injury or that mechanism of injury. And I found all of them already in 2021. But this is a compilation, I guess, that Peter put together of the 28 mechanisms of kidney injury, because it started with a patient that after they had the COVID jabs, they went into renal failure and they had to opt between getting a kidney transplant or being on dialysis for the rest of their life. So he started going through the literature and he found that there were 21 different ways related to inflammation, cytokines, and autoimmunity. Well, you know, starting this week, it started Saturday, and we are doing a promotion with Brighteon on relaunching the 40 Mechanisms of Injury for people to really go through it and read it and see it. And those people, like what Heather was talking about, that are still like in complete denial, oh, it can't be the shot. Yes, it probably is the shot. And I've said for a long time, after Pfizer released its first tranche of documents, and there was a 38-page document that had over 1,200 things that they knew about before they even launched released the experimental COVID jab, of the side effects that they had seen and tracked. So when people say to me, do you think the jab can cause, and fill in the blank? The fill in the blank is yes, because if they knew there were 1,200 things when they were just getting started, how many more came down the road? So this is what we're doing with the 20 mechanisms of injury. And interestingly enough, Merle Nass had on her Substack this week that she found this link. It was from a article that was posted around Christmas time from Brownstone. You know, Brownstone publishes some really good articles, really in-depth scientific research things. They were one of the first ones to cover all the things that happened with Zelensky before he died. The ways that the early treatment protocols, and they really took it on the chin for that. Well, there was an article that came out around Christmas time, and the name of the article was 10 New Year's Resolutions to Restore Medical Freedom. And that's the link that's right there. And the number one thing, the number one way, what says, speak the truth about COVID at every opportunity. Now, that was at the end of the year. I know a lot of people are just like, either they're still non-believers about the dastardly deed that happened with all of these shots, or they're in denial, or they're like, they just want to move on. They don't want to talk about it. They're like, yeah, I got two jabs and a booster. Now, what am I going to do about it? Because they're really, I mean, you can always detox, you know, you can always get healthier, but the question comes down to what can you really get out of your body? You know, the spike proteins and the DNA that were found in the body or in the shots that gets incorporated into the center of your own DNA, the chance of getting that removed, at least at this point in time with our technologies, well, it could happen. You could do it with red light therapy or ozone or the natokinase and bromelain that Peter McCullough talks about, or the stuff that Brian Artis talks about, or, you know, things like that. But there's no proof of any of that. There's no before and after blood tests. There's no before and after stool, saliva, urine tests that shows that can measure the amount of DNA damage that you have. And then you take this supplement, or you do this detox, or you do this protocol, and 3 months, 6 months later, you repeat that test, and now it's much lower. They don't even have something like that, which wouldn't even be a great test, but it would be something. And I was doing research yesterday. I put together the beginning of the PowerPoint presentation that I have for our boot camp presentation, which our registration for our boot camp is open. It's 4 weeks in April. It starts April the 4th. It goes 4 weeks with the five docs. It's the five docs boot camp. Every week there's two docs that are presenting, and one is the main presenter and the other one is a commentator, I guess. And then it ends with a 4-hour webinar on May the 5th, which is, I think it's the 5th. It's the second, maybe it's the 11th. Which day is it, Cookie? Which day is the webinar?
It's May the 4th.
It is May the 4th.
It's
okay,
a
May
Saturday, yes.
It's a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is the solutions. We'll be talking about all kinds of things that have happened, because the theme of this Five Docs Boot Camp is setting the record straight. I mean, what did they do to censor us? What did they do to shut us down? What did they do that called us, that took my medical license away, took Carrie's medical license away, you know, that, you know, Lee had to fight for hers, that took a lot of other people's medical licenses away. What did they decide in terms of censorship? So my topic is on censorship. So I was doing a lot of research on censorship yesterday and what they actually did to us. And so we want to set the record straight about that. Now, they still won't allow you to talk about on social media a lot of the realities that we have come to know about the COVID jabs, like the infertility and the turbo cancers and things like that. It's coming out slowly, but we're in year four now. I mean, the suppression of the information that could have saved lots of people's lives, either by not taking the jab or by early treatment with budesimide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all of those things that were suppressed, that millions of more people died than was necessary from these jabs. If people would have known the truth, millions of more people would have opted to not do it. And we didn't have the opportunity to counter the propaganda of, you know, get in line, do your part. I mean, how many times do we hear that? Take the jab, do your part, protect grandma, protect the kids, put the kids in isolation, stuff masks on two-year-olds on an airplane, for heaven's sakes, which was just torture. It was just torture to those kids. It was absolutely unnecessary. Well, we're relaunching and re-promoting. It was kind of my Mike Adams' idea, because he agrees with me that people need to know about this. People's minds are maybe more open now to understanding what was there at the time. And there have been probably 1,000 more publications that have come out since that time, since 2021. Jim Thorpe posted the other day that rough estimates are 573 million people have died from the COVID jabs. So that, coupled on the back of this, you know, the 28 reasons that the COVID shots kill your kidneys, the Brownstone article on 10 New Year's resolutions to restore medical freedom, and the first one is speak the truth about COVID on every opportunity. This is a way that you can participate with that webinar, if you haven't done it already, to be able to share it with your friends and to be able to speak educatedly, because, you know, right now it's, you know, there's not a lot in the news cycle about the things that they're planning or doing. And that's not a good thing. You know, when they're really, really quiet, that scares me more than ever. It scares me more than them hooping and hollering like they did about the COVID jab, because we had an opportunity. We kept finding little wiggly places to get around the censorship, to get the information out. When they are absolutely quiet, that's kind of scary, because that means they're in planning mode. And so the more you know, the more educated you are, the more well-armed you are. And Michelle put the link up there that you can go to the on Brighteon. They're releasing one every day, kind of like how Truth About Cancer does their releases. And then at the end, you can buy the whole thing together. So that's available. That supports me. It supports Mike Adams. And it puts into your hand, if you don't have it already, the information that you need to keep this conversation going. And I talked a little bit about the boot camp. Don't forget to enroll, because the topics that we're going to be talking about, you haven't heard anywhere else. I mean, we've had a lot of planning meetings about talking about information that isn't readily available. And then on that solutions webinar that's on May the 4th, we're going to be talking about solutions for mind, body, and spirit, and then having a full hour of Q&A. So it's going to be a really interesting and a really good Five Docs boot camp. We may never do another one again, or we may do one this fall, or we may do one next year. We're not really sure. We don't have any future tense plans. So if you miss this one, it may be the last one that we do. Or we may come up with a different topic to do later, but please go ahead and join for that. It's learning4you/5, like as in the number 5, 5 Docs 2024. And that's available for you to register now. If you are a premium podcast member or you are a former boot camp attendee, keep watching inside of your email, because we've sent you a special affiliate code as a thank you code for your past support. And so we've given people who are premium podcast members and previous boot camp members a special affiliate code, and that should go into your inbox. Please be sure to check your spam file in case it ends up over there. Now, one other thing I want to talk about just briefly this morning is that there's a couple things that I'm working on. You know me. You guys know me. They've been following me for a long time. It's like I can't just do one thing at a time. It's like what I say on the front of our drtenpenny.com website, where I say I'm still wired like an ER doc. Well, an ER doc, in order to be good at your job, you have to be able to multitask on different layers all the time. When I was working full time in the ER, it was a 21 bed facility. And at any given time, all 21 beds and were filled, and the hall beds also. And then you would get a call in from Hanco EMS, which was the EMS paramedic, ambulance system there. And you could hear it when you're standing at the front desk. You could hear sort of the chatter, and you knew that something was coming. You just didn't know what it was. And then finally, when they were inbound and they were on their way in with the ambulance, they would tell you it was a rollover accident with four victims from one car and three victims from another car. And they would give you the status of the victims, or they would be coming in with a full cardiac arrest or somebody that was in complete respiratory failure or whatever. And then those beds, all those 21 beds I talked about, all those priorities got shuffled and shifted to where you still had to manage the people that were there that were really sick. But the people that were there with sprained ankles and sore throats and earaches, they got shifted around, and the nurses had to go around and tell them it was going to be a long wait. And so you had to be able, you got hardwired to be able to do that. From right after I got out of medical school, I went into emergency medicine. And so my entire early career in medicine was being able to do this heavy duty on the spot managing of all kinds of balls in the air. And so I can't do just one thing at a time. It drives me crazy. So as I've been putting all these different things together, I'm kind of working on several different books at one time. One book is a book for from my On Walking with God series. That's going to be released here probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that a little more when it's released. I'm writing on a book about my stroke experience. It's called Me and My Brain: Lessons from the Bench. And that will take me a full year to write, because it's a continually unfolding story. I'm writing a book about vaccines in our food. And so, oh my gosh, the research is intense, and so much of it. And so while I was researching a little bit about, and it's really hard to find, it's really in-depth research and very challenging and very difficult to find, of the vaccines for cattle and sheep and chickens and cats and dogs and pigs and fish. And I mean, all the vaccines for fish, and it's just been a lot. So as I was doing some of that research the other day, I came across this summit that's happening in a couple of weeks in San Francisco. It's called the Animal Ag Tech Innovation Summit. And there's three parts to the summit. One part is about animal tech, one is about agri-tech, and the other is about food tech. And I've spent quite a bit of time. In fact, Michelle, can you put up that graphic that's there? And that says future food tech, and right in the middle. I spent quite a bit of time reading their website and who the speakers were and what they were going to be talking about. Can we put that up, please? There we go. Look at all the people that are going to be there selling of what they're trying to do to innovate food. I mean, the Mars Company, Abbott's, Heinz, Dole, Food Labs. I'm just reading off of the graphic here. Flash Foods, Microsoft. In fact, the CEO of Microsoft is one of their keynote speakers. Land Foods, Breakthrough Innovators, Food Ingredients, Biotechnology, and GMO type foods. I mean, that's just one of the graphics, and that's just from the future food tech part of that full week webinar or full week seminar. The first 2 days are on animal tech. The second 2 days are on agri-tech, what they're doing to actually manipulate all the different foods that are out there. And then the last 2 days are on future food tech. So it's pretty scary what is happening. I mean, in on they on their registration fee, I actually called them and had a conversation with them about, you know, downloadability of the PowerPoints. Or, I mean, you have a 30 days after you register, and it's a really pricey thing to attend. It's even kind of pricey to, you know, get the virtual aspect of it. You have 30 days to watch all of the presentations. They have them in a like a dashboard. After they've been recorded, they will go up there and you can watch them. And I suppose that while you're watching them, you can take screenshots of some of their slides. but this is what's happening to our food, people. On their webinar, they say that they have over 2,400 attendees registered and over 1,400 speakers of these three different conventions that are happening one right after the other at the same time. So what I've already written about in my Substack, when I've talked about the bug flower and I've talked about what they've done to our food with the appeal, the deep dive that I've taken into some of the GMO food, that I've positioned it in a way that other people haven't really talked about it, talking about the different vaccines in food. I mean, it's so evil. And it's all about commerce, all about the love of money, that they think they can design something better than our creator, that was given to us all this wonderful, lush food in the garden, all the fruits and vegetables and ways to pollinate and all the different types of animals, and we were given dominion over all the animals. It's, I'm not sure I'm ever going to eat out at a restaurant again, that I don't know the chef and I don't know where the food is coming from, particularly protein. So I don't know. It's and the point of the book is to expose all this stuff that people just don't know and they aren't really talking about, and then give people solutions, what they can do instead. Because every chapter that I've written so far, you know, it goes through all this nightmare type of stuff and all this Frankenfood type of thing that they're doing. And this whole webinar, this whole seminar, this week-long seminar in San Francisco would be the latest, greatest, hot off the presses stuff that's going on. And but then at the end, there's a section called What You Can Do Instead. And I want to put all kinds of solution things in there, different websites that I've found, different organizations that you can get involved with in terms of an advocacy and activism, what you can do in your local community. So you can't fix it until you expose it. And if you don't, I thought I knew a lot about what they were doing with big food, big ag, big chemical. I've just, in all the stuff that I know, it was barely scratching the surface. So there's a link, if you want to take a look at it. It is animalagtech.com, animalagtech.com. And that will take you to the innovation, they call it an innovation summit. We're creating and improving our food. Nice. You know, so many of these World Economic Forum things that they're doing with the transhumanism, with the brain biochips. I just was reading last night about Neuralink and how they there have already been like 28 people that have gotten like brain chips or something like that. And but with Neuralink, the plan is to completely put your brain up into the cloud. And so the transhumanism stuff, what they're doing to humans, what they're doing to our air, our water, our soil, our food. I keep wondering how much longer will the Lord tarry, you know, until, you know, he like what he tried, what he said to Nineveh. And if you read the book of Job, I've the last Substack that I put out, one of my previous Sunday Substacks, I was talking about this ebook that I read. I'm reading more of my books on Kindle. Just, I don't know, I guess it's because I'm so used to the black backlighting of all the research that I do, that when I sit down to read like a paper book, it doesn't have enough lighting for me and I just fall asleep. It hypnotizes me. But when I'm reading on Kindle, it's the backlighting, I think, that really kind of keeps me awake and alert. Well, I just finished reading this book. It's called God Has a Name, by John Mark Comer, C-O-M-E-R is the last name. It was, I love his writing style. It's very conversational. He's very funny. You feel like when you're reading this book, like you're sitting at a, like at a, in a restaurant, or you're sitting somewhere across the table from him and he's just having a conversation with you. I mean, I was literally laughing out loud at some of the comments and things that he made. So it was really kind of interesting. But he talks about, everybody in all of our churches these days talk about the love of God and how God is so forgiving. He forgives everything. And, you know, we're even trying to apply DEI, diversity, you know, equity and inclusiveness to God, you know, to say, yes, he's going to love everybody because he just loves everybody. And his, what he says in his word doesn't count. When he says about, you know, turn from your evil ways, he has rules. Read the book of Leviticus about the rules. And he talks in that book, God Has a Name, about, you know, God has patience, love, understanding, and forgiveness. God also has wrath. And if you read the book of Jonah, and he talks about Nineveh, that he goes into great detail about what Nineveh was like during that time. Oh, my gosh. I mean, some of the things that he even wrote about were just really appalling, like some of the worst type of torture and things that happened ever. And, you know, God had had enough. Finally, he just had enough. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, okay, the depth of your evil has reached my ears. Jonah, go over in there and tell them they got 30 days and they're going to all be wiped out. And what did they do? And Jonah ran away. He didn't want to do it. He ended up going there anyways. We won't get into the details of that. But when all 120,000 of those people, they went on a 3-day dry fast, which meant no food and no water for 3 days, and repented, and God relented and didn't destroy Nineveh. I keep wondering what's going to happen. And with this solar eclipse that's coming up, I don't know how much time you guys have spent looking at that. There's a guy that I follow on Substack. His Substack is, I think it's Ephesians 6:12. Is his Substack. His name is Ender E. Law. That's a pseudonym. That's not his real name. I've communicated with him a bit. And he does a lot of astronomy and astrology from a biblical perspective, and how the people of old age, how they used to look at the stars and get messages from God from the stars. And the solar eclipse that's going to come across the United States, which there's only been a few of those ever, it's going to cross 8 cities by the name of Nineveh, which there are only 8. One is in Canada, the other 7 are in the United States, and it's going to cover 7 cities by the name of Salem. I think God's trying to tell us something, like, I'm fed up with your nonsense, and you're going to be like Nineveh, and so who is going to be the person? Who's going to be the person to tell the people what is real? And to call our country, maybe the whole world, to repentance. I was talking to somebody in detail about this yesterday, 2 people actually, in the last 2 days. And we were talking about it's got to be something so catastrophic that people will all fall to their knees at the same time. So the silence over there by the World Economic Forum is a little bit scary. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. That's it. Scroll back. Yeah, see, it's Ephesians 6:10 is .substack.com is his Substack. Ephesians 6:10. It's Ender E. Law. That's not his real name. That's a pseudonym. I've chatted with him. I've emailed him back and forth. He's a really nice guy, kind of a young guy, and I really enjoyed him a lot. So anyways, that's my morning ramble for this morning, is I think that we need to be looking at what's coming. And it's one of the reasons why I'm releasing this first print book that I've released as a print book in a long time. We're in the final phases of putting it together. It's beautiful. It's Diane has done absolutely the most unbelievable job with the design and the layout of this book. And you'll hear more about it in the weeks to come. It's to inspire you. So let me see. Cookie, are there any? Oh, I can't, it's hard to see my screen up there. There we go. I see. Okay, there are some questions in here. I'll start going through some of the questions this morning. Diane asks about an ovarian mass. Being afraid of hospitals and blood transfusions, I don't have any answer for that. They're all the same. They're sadly all the same. You know, it's the only thing that they know. You know, the expression, when the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. That means you smack everything with that hammer, that you don't use a screwdriver, you don't use pliers or, you know, anything like that. They're all the same. But if there is an ovarian mass there, you need to seek help. Apparently you've got an ultrasound or something that know what that is. But sometimes conventional medicine is what you need to do. I'm sorry to have to say it like that, but sometimes that's the way it is. And the only way to avoid tainted blood, oh my gosh, I know a couple of people that have been in the hospital and it's been a nightmare to try to do anything from that. There are a couple of organizations, and we've actually interviewed them, that can get you a donor. But just because you get the donor doesn't mean the hospital is going to cooperate with getting you that particular donated unit of blood. It's really a horrible thing. And the about the blood transfusions and finding a surgeon, that's just a matter of let your fingers do the walking, keep interviewing people until you find somebody that you can work with. And that's really, you know, a lot of times their front desk will be able to answer that for you. If you write a list of questions, say, you know, is your surgeon COVID jabbed? How many jabs did he get? How did he treat patients who were not? The front desk is going to know. And because if you get this blowback on, oh, you're one of those, then you know right away. Or if you'll know when you just have to let your fingers do the walking and ask around.
Dr. T, can I add to that?
Sure.
With my recent stay in the hospital, I agree it's almost impossible, especially where I live. I'm not going to say it's totally impossible. The whole system is convoluted, and even those that are trying to help us, it's really hard to navigate through everything. Mm-hmm. So it's something that if you think you might need, start that work now. Start finding out now, because it takes time. And there are some states that make it so hard for you to be able to do that. So whether it's donating your own blood, you know, up until a procedure, but you're going to have to like try to track the numbers that they give it and the whole down the line. And still, as Dr. T said, it's not 100% sure that that's what you're going to get, but at least you're doing your due diligence and not waiting for an emergency and then finding out that, you know, you can't navigate everything that fast. And then you go into a panic, and the worst thing that can happen is panic and fear take over. So if that's something you think you're going to need, do that homework now.
Thank you, Cookie. And thank you for sharing your personal story with that. It's been, you know, the other thing is, you know, if you're going to have surgery of some kind, or you think that maybe down the road you're going to need a knee replacement or a hip replacement, or you're going to have to have some sort of surgery, get yourself as healthy as you can be right now. I mean, I can tell you, obviously from personal experience, it's a whole lot easier and a whole lot less time and a whole lot less money. Even though you think, oh, I got to pay a couple $100 a month for my supplements. Well, think about when you're going to have to pay a couple $1,000, tens of thousands of dollars to get well. When if you would have just been due diligent about buying your supplements, detoxing your body, buying your supplements, sticking with an exercise program, getting adequate sleep, all the things that you guys know how to do and do it on the first. You know, we say all the time, you know, prevention is the best medicine, but how many people really do it? How many people look at this body and say, I got one of these? I've had 10 cars in my lifetime. I've had multiple houses in my lifetime that I've lived at. I've had several jobs. I maybe even had several spouses. But I get one of these, one. Why do I not take better care of it? Why do I not eat the right foods, do the right supplements, detox, because we live in a dirty, toxic world. You always have to detox. And if you go to drtdetox.com, there's lots of suggestions there for you to kind of like keep your body healthier. There's all kinds of things that you should be doing, and don't wait until you break it to try to fix it. I mean, I redlined my engine until it broke. Okay, that's just the bottom line. You know, that I was working 7 days a week. I got about 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. I was very sedentary life. I didn't do the exercise. I still don't drink enough water, even though I've completely cleaned up everything in my diet. I didn't during that time. I ate pretty clean, but I didn't clean, wasn't completely clean. You know, I would still say, oh, it's okay to cheat once in a while, until it's really not. And now that I'm doing all this investigation on all the crappy stuff they've done to our food, it's just really disgusting what happens to our food and how we can do better. So I really, really admonish all of you and inspire all of you this morning that are listening today and will be listening in the future. Take better care of yourself. We're coming into a really horrible time, I think, on this planet. It's got to get dark before it gets light. You know, it just is. I mean, you read the Bible, you kind of know that things are not going to get better, not going to get better until they get worse first. And you want to be in the best possible health you can be. I mean, what if you have to run from your house? Literally run. Can you do it? It's one of the things I'm literally learning how to redo, is to run. I can walk just fine. I can go up downstairs. I can drive. But I learned just like 2 weeks ago that my hamstring muscle on my left leg, and it's really my left leg where most of the stroke occurred, is really not working right. And when I was out at that rehab center in Utah, I asked him, how do I learn to start running again? Thinking that someday I may have to run out of my house or down the street. And he said, the first thing you have to do is you have to learn to hop. So I learned to hop. It took me 7 days to learn how to hop on my left leg because it wasn't working and I didn't know which muscles it was. Then I realized it was my hamstrings. And so now I'm doing hopping on one foot, like running in place from side to side. It's going to be weeks, maybe months, before I can get that back. Now, wouldn't it have been a whole lot smarter for me to take care of it in the first place? Wouldn't I have been way ahead of the curve to take care of it in the first place, take care of my body and everything about it? So really, as Cookie was saying, if you think there's anything from a conventional medicine that you're going to need, find out about it now. And just make a resolution right here, right now, today, March the 5th, I'm going to do better. I'm going to make it a commitment to my life, to my health, to my family, to my God, that I'm going to have my entire life is this body, and I'm going to do a better job taking care of it. So enough about that. What do I think about Jane Ruby saying the spike protein doesn't exist? Well, I truly love Jane Ruby, and I had her on my Brighteon show, or she's coming up on my Brighteon show, and I dearly love her, what she says, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the fact that there's no spike protein. I think there's so much, and some of the research that I've done recently showed that there were hundreds of factories right as COVID was starting and as they were ramping up production of these billions of shots around the world. They had done research and found hundreds of facilities that were capable of making COVID jabs, and they were on the money trough. I mean, everybody that stepped up to the plate to hurry up and make these jabs got millions of dollars. And so I believe that there are millions, well, not that's not true. I believe there are hundreds of different types of solutions, all called COVID jabs. You know, we know that Michael Yaden is harped for this entire time about the fact that there was no quality control, no cleanliness, no standard of production. It was, you know, other people have talked about it was the least standard of care and the least standardization of manufacture of any product the pharmaceutical company has ever made. And there were factories all around the world, in China, India, France, the UK, South America, everywhere. And I think they were all made a little bit differently by no real quality assurance, no long-term studies. Things were just mixed together rapidly. Some were done under temperature and quality temperature control. Some weren't. That's why I think that many of these researchers have said, well, I found this in the shots, and they somehow extrapolated across the billions of shots. I think that's more what's more scientifically and ethically correct and accurate is to say, in this particular set of vials that I examined, this is what I found. And then researcher B says, in this particular set of vials I examined, this is what I found. And it can be 100 vials, it could be 1,000 vials. It's not billions. And so if they could, instead of shooting arrows at each other and saying, I'm right and you're wrong, and I found this and you didn't, and my research is right and your research is wrong, if they could collaborate together and say, look at all these different things we found, I think that was by design, kind of like the Wyeth memo, you know, so we got to send these all out in different places so we don't have any hot lots. And I think that this was designed by design, so there's different side effects, different complications, different rates of death from sudden deaths, from clots, from heart attacks, from the myocarditis, some that cause a lot more myocarditis than others. I think that was by design, because if they all did exactly the same thing, it would be far too easy for independent researchers and the lawyers out there that are fighting this to say, look, it's all the same. But because it's all different, they have an out going, well, it can't be the shot because it's all different. So to say it doesn't exist, I don't know. I love Jane, but I don't know exactly in context of what she was saying that. So maybe that was taken out of context, but I do believe it exists. And I think that spike protein disease is a real thing. In the medical literature now, they're starting to call it spikeopathy, knowing that, and what we talk about in the 40 mechanisms of injury, you know, that I divided things into four categories: acute and sudden deaths, things that happen within the first 2 days of heart attacks, strokes, blood clots to the lungs, pulmonary emboli, the big spike right at the beginning of all the people that died within the first 48 hours. That's well documented. And then the second is spike protein disease. Like I said, the medical literature is now calling it a spikeopathy, sort of like, you know, a myopathy or a neuropathy. They're calling it spikeopathy. All the different kinds of diseases that are caused by these foreign proteins that are called spike proteins. And that's what was made in at least some of the shots, if not in all of them, at least a large number of them. And spike protein disease is frontal temporal lobe dysfunction, all of the zombie stuff that we're seeing now, all the personality changes, the Alzheimer's and a fast onset of dementia, all the different things that are caused by the spike proteins. The third category is autoimmune disease, which is going to continue to develop over the next 5 to 7 years, that we're going to see more aggressive and more difficult to treat autoimmune disease as the body turns against itself. And if you believe any of Dr. Anna's work, where she talks about the self-assembling nanobot technologies, if that's really in there with the amyloid, well, you can see where that's your body's getting all inflamed and trying to fight against these things. That's an autoimmune disease. And that will be going on for, you know, probably another up till 2030 or beyond. And it's going to be difficult for them to create antibodies, you know, those monoclonal antibodies to treat it, because there'll be so many different types. And then I put category four as kind of the other. It's all the infertility, it's all the turbo cancers, it's all of the things that are happening. So it's the worst thing that has ever happened to the human race. I personally believe, this is my personal opinion, it is totally satanic by design. Satan has read the end of the book. In fact, I remember Catherine Austin Fitz told me one time, you know, the bad guys read the Bible too, and they probably know it better than the good guys, which may be true. And if he knows that, you know, the end is coming, And he's going to be put into this dark place for 1,000 years as the Lord comes back and rebuilds the planet. And then the final judgment. He wants to take his drag as many people into his kingdom and into his world and away from being a Christian and away from being having a relationship with God and Jesus as he possibly can. And our world is just gone in that particular direction. I mean, look at the, you know, the Super Bowl halftime shows, look at all of the, you know, the nonsense that's happening with Taylor Swift and all those characters. You know, it's just evil. And the Bible also says, you know, for us to stay awake and alert, because lest the elect could also be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by this next round of shots that you have to get a shot or get a subcutaneous, get a microchip or something like that. Just don't do it. So that's my answer to that question. And the last question I have in here this morning, what's my opinion about stopping the use of Armour Thyroid after years of using it? Is it possible? How would you do it? Well, Tracy Straub and I have had lots of discussions about this because Tracy believes that you can heal your thyroid. Maybe you can. In my clinical experience, I've been a doctor since 1996, or I've been seeing patients since 1985. I'll tell you how old I am. I've been seeing patients for 40 years. We've had our integrative clinic here in Cleveland, Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, where we've treated people from all 50 states and about 18 or 20 foreign countries. I've never seen anybody get off their thyroid medicine, unless it was only acutely when they had acute thyroiditis, and it was at the very, very beginning, and they did all kinds of things to balance their hormones, to get off the gluten, to get rid of the glyphosate in their diet, do all the different things early on when their thyroid was inflamed, called an acute thyroiditis, and maybe they were just put on thyroid medication short term to kind of control that. Then I think it's probably a possible, but if you've been on it for many, many years, I don't think it's possible. And that's just me. I think, you know, that's one of those places that your body's become dependent on that. If you have a way to do it and there's ways that you can think that you can get off the medication. I mean, I stopped using Armour Thyroid, but I had to switch to Cytomel and Synthroid this years ago, maybe 10 years ago, because Armour Thyroid stopped working for me and it caused a lot of side effects. So I just went to Cytomel and Synthroid, and I've been on it for a long time. I know I'll never get off of it. I've missed a couple of doses here and there when I was traveling, like hopping across time zones, and boy, I really knew the difference. And as soon as I pulled that medication out of my backpack that I travel with and popped the pills, it was like, oh, wow, I guess I can live today. I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. So it's the other thing I would say is, for a lot of people, given the times that we're in, if you have life-saving medication that you have to take, like if you have tried various natural remedies and you've tried, you know, changing your diet, losing weight, doing all these things, and you can't get off of your prescription medications, maybe you've had a organ transplant and you're going to be on rejection medication the rest of your life, or possibly seizure disorders, or I don't know, there's a whole bunch of different things that probably your body gets to the point where it just can't heal it anymore like it used to. You get older, the more medications that you get put on as you age, the less likely it is for you to be able to get off of them, except maybe the ones you don't really need, like antidepressants and all those different things. Anyway, and statins, all those kinds of drugs. But if you're on a drug that is absolutely essential for life, let's say you've had a total thyroidectomy, you don't have a thyroid gland anymore, and you have to be on thyroid hormone the rest of your life because your body doesn't make it anymore. You have to do that. Or you, like I said, you've had an organ transplant and you need to be on rejection, anti-rejection drugs the rest of your life. Get yourself a stockpile of it. We know from military studies now that drugs don't expire. They did studies on drugs they had stockpiled for up to 50 years and found that the efficacy of that drug had decreased by maybe 8 or 9% after 50 years. We know that the drug expiration date in a year was there from the pharmaceutical industry, so you'll buy more drugs, and the FDA put their stamp to it. So it used to be that you could donate outdated medications to third world countries when they were 3 or 4 years old because they were efficacious. And so you could send them, you know, if somebody died or you didn't need a medication like an antibiotic or something like that anymore. They used to have charity programs that would take those medications to places that didn't have access to them. Now they won't let you do that if it's expired more than a year, which is really sad for those people that maybe need antibiotics or antiparasitic drugs or things like that. But get yourself a stockpile, even if that means you need to save up your money and pay for it out of pocket. Go to GoodRx, goodrx.com, and look in your area to where you can get the least, where they're a service that are constantly updating to where you can find the least expensive drugs, because some people have co-pays and they have out-of-pockets, or some of their insurance companies only pay for certain types of medications. Go and find the place where you can most cost-effectively buy the same medication that you're on and get 6 months to a year stockpile. I mean, if the supply chain goes down, the internet goes down, if you can't buy, sell, or trade without having the mark or without the microchip, or without getting the central bank digital currencies, or whatever they are trying to contrive for us, have a stockpile. Have a stockpile to those things that are really essential to your life. I do. I have a big stockpile of my thyroid medication because I know I've been on it for more than 30 years. And my body's gotten used to it. I've tried several different times and nothing works. Now, it doesn't mean it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Maybe you can figure out a way to get off of gluten, get off of glyphosate, change your metabolism. Genova offers a blood test to check your mitochondria level and how well your mitochondria is working. Maybe there's a way that you can do that. Tracy believes that there is. She sees people all the time. In my 40 years of medical experience, I never have. So there's two opinions at the opposite end of the spectrum. One last question here. What about all the chemtrails everywhere, weather modification? People are posting info and pics on Facebook every day. I have many pictures from Long Island, New York, and North Carolina. Another evil to God's creation. Absolutely. The person that I follow these days on everything that's happening with weather modification chemtrails is Renette Senham. Renette's a really good friend of mine, and she does Renette Senham's foghornexpress.substack.com is where she posts things. They have lawsuits that are going on. They have all kinds of things that they found in the fuel that's in airlines, in both commercial and in military airlines. I sent her an article the other day from the UK that a former pilot was talking about what they've done in the UK. And she said that was, you know, she hadn't really seen anything like that before, and she was glad that I sent it to her. But I think that, you know, what the thing that Renette does is she gives people things they can do, how they can be activists, how they can protect the food in their garden if you're trying to grow your own food, but you got all the stuff falling down out of the air on your food, what you can do with that. She has a couple times a month, they have activist circles that they get together and talk about different ways that they're creating their own food. So please go to Renette. And yeah, and she's actually pretty funny too. She's really knowledgeable. I used to follow Dane Wigington's stuff all the time. And Dane was a good friend of mine. I've spoken at his conference a couple of times. But it's so dark. It's so dark. I mean, it's like the sky is falling continually. And I've said to him, I said, you know, what can we do to try to fight against this? I mean, I told him one time, I said, you know, we need a villain. You know, like Monsanto became the villain for glyphosate. Pfizer's become the villain for vaccines. What kind of villain do we need to have a villain that people can get active and be an activist about for all of the chemtrail stuff? And he never was able to give me any answer, even like a guess. And that's the thing that Renette's trying to figure out. So support Renette and her Substack. My Substack is drtenpenny.substack.com. It's Eye on the Evidence on Saturday. And Tenpenny Walk with God, docsubstack.com, which is I'm Walking with God, which is on Sunday. We do 7 podcasts a week. We do this week with Dr. T Monday morning. And for those of you who aren't aware, I don't think I've done enough to talk about this, but if you like our guests, I mean, like the guests that we had yesterday with Ollie London, who was a transgender man who became a Korean woman and then found the Lord and transitioned back, the information that he talked about yesterday morning was over the moon. And if you liked it and you want to know a little, if you like our guests on Monday morning and you want to know them a little bit more personally and take a deeper dive into what drives them, what they like to do for fun, you know, what they think about world events and things like that, we also do a recording right after I do the This Week with Dr. T. We do a recording called Deep Dive with Dr. T that goes behind the paywall, and it's only for our premium podcast members. And I don't think that I've given that a big enough push, because those interviews are over the moon, man. I mean, some of those interviews, and I enjoy doing them because some of the interviews are so enlightening and so informative, and it's completely different information than what they just talked about on our This Week with Dr. T, which is more about their book or current events or things like that are happening. And the deep dive is more of a personal look. And when I've done like a deep dive with Peter McCullough and Alex Jones and David Icke and Brian Artis and more and more of those type of people, it was so inspiring. You know, with Ed Dowd's deep dive was just over the moon. It was so good. And he told me after we got done with that interview, he said, you know, this was kind of nice because people don't really know much about me. They just know what I do and what I've done with BlackRock and what I've done with all this data. But it was an opportunity to tell people a little bit more about who I am. So in order to access those, it's one of the things that we do for our special for our premium podcast members, because it's with gratitude that we're so grateful that you support us. Your monthly support every month as a premium podcast member is it's what keeps us going, what keeps me in the fight for you, which makes me want to learn to run again, which makes me want to start doing these podcasts and things again, because it's so important of how much I care about getting this information out to all of you. So with gratitude, I thank all of you for premium podcast members. And if you want to hear the deep dive interviews, you have to be a podcast member to be able to do that. So that's our second interview on Monday. And then Monday night, I have a Bridie on show. It's called Dr. Tenpenny, you know, On Your Health. And then Tuesday morning is coffee. Tuesday night is happy hour with Dr. T. It's guest night. We usually interview authors and pastors about something they've written. It's really super inspiring. Then Thursday nights come for this month of March. No, Thursday night is another happy hour night. We used to do happy hour 5 days a week. Now we do it twice a week. And Thursday night, we just finished a 4-part series with Dr. Justin Sprock on Bible eschatology. That was just over the moon. And it was such good information. Now for the month of March, I'm going to be doing happy hour with Dr. T on Thursday nights, kind of like the old days, kind of like how we used to do it on Thursday nights. And then I'm getting ready to do a scheduled recording with Brad Cummings on the episode that's going to happen in the month of April. It's going to be called How to Be Triumphant, Being Triumphant in Turbulent Times. And he has dug out some end time eschatology thing. I've introduced him and Justin, and they have gotten to be really good pals. And actually, we're planning a webinar on Bible controversies in May. We haven't got that date set up yet. In May, with Brad Cummings, Pastor Brad Cummings, and with Dr. Justin Sprock, or Prock, P-R-O-C-K, Dr. Justin Prock, to be able to talk about, they've come up with 10 or 12 Bible controversies and how to resolve them and to know what to do with these difficult passages in the Bible that just seem to be contradictory or we just don't know what to do with. So it's going to be really, really fun. And because for me, that's the most important thing I do. The happy hour stuff is great. You know, the interviews on Tuesday, and then when I do it or when we have the interviews on the four-part series, it's really, really important. So with that, I want to just thank everybody for being here with me this morning. Let me see if, there was a Breitbart piece Michelle posted up over here, a Breitbart piece. Let me see. I don't see the date on it, but it must have been pretty recent. When Yuval Noah Harari said, the WEF has said we don't need the vast majority of people on the planet today. We are just a bunch of, Kissinger said we were a bunch of worthless eaters, and we just don't need this many people on the planet. So their goal is to get rid of us. Our goal is to make sure that our life is right with the Lord. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. Thank you for saying a little extra prayer for my eye here so that bruise goes away really fast. it doesn't hurt. It's just kind of annoying. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here this morning with the little coffee clatch that we have. And I hope that this was a great way to start your week. I hope you got some personal questions answered. Hope I enlightened you on some information that I wanted to bring to the table for you. I talked about the 7 podcasts that we do each week, and I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all of my podcasts with, whether they're live or pre-recorded, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in trouble. It will come. Be patient and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God. Trust him for everything. He won't let you down. And thank you so much for joining us here today. We have a few special announcements at the end of this. We will see you tonight at Happy Hour with Dr. T. And we'll see you next week at Morning Coffee with Dr. T. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, Our dollar could literally go to zero, could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-drt. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-drt.